Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Woo!
Emergency pod. Wow. Yeah, let's do it.
My head is spinning, Nick. I don't even know really how to respond right now. I think we have like some post Cy Young winners on our team now and stuff. Cy Young Award winners,
second place placers, I guess.
Yes, and interesting people from Korea is coming to our team. My head's spinning, Nick. I don't even know what to say.
Well, Dallas is knocked over on his bed right now. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. Kemp, Myers, Middlebrooks. Man, this has been a whirlwind.
Melvin.
I'm so excited. Upton Brothers, James Shields. Nothing beats this.
Getting your Rockstar GM shirt in the mail yet? Or Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with the AJ Preller and just these focus clusters of transactions? Like, where he seems to want to just do it all at once and take the whole baseball world by storm. I mean, everybody, every insider, every national baseball writer is just tweeting and writing stuff about the Padres right now. I guess there's nothing else they can really talk about, but it's amazing how he can just pull focus like that.
Yeah, I think that's part of the plan. Sorry, go ahead, Trav.
I was just going to say, it's like he watched a movie, or this is how we think general managers act in fictional situations, and somehow AJ Preller decides to make it a reality where he pulls off three of the biggest trades we've had in the Padres in a long time, and we've had some big trades in within hours. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's basically Kevin Costner in Draft Day on Draft Day. I was about to say that. it all happens one day within an hour. Like, it's so exciting. I think, obviously, he plays this to a T. Like, he knows how important it is to have the headlines, and he grabbed them before anybody else. And he basically spends like 3 days where no one's talking about anything but the moves he's making. And then spends another 2 weeks because nothing else is happening with people just talking about those moves. It's a brilliant strategy, and he's done it every year now, every offseason, basically. He's done something for the most part when no one expected him to. And I mean, I can't believe, like, honestly, I mean, we can get into the trades a little bit more, but like,
yeah.
I was not very excited about the possibility of Trevor Bauer coming to the Padres. It just never. You know, he's fine, but like,
what's your issue? What's your issue with Trevor Bauer?
I think he's just overrated. I think he's good, but I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is. And I don't think that he's a guy who can lead a team to the promised land. Like, he's not that guy. He couldn't do it in Cleveland. He couldn't do it in Cincinnati. Like, he's a good ace for a team that needs to just say they have an ace. And plus, I just don't really like how he's been handling the free agency thing, like tweeting out to teams' fans and then taking pictures of the hats. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, he just seems really, really full of himself. And I don't know where that attitude fits on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also tweeting pictures of himself. Where was he at? Like Encinitas or Carlsbad or somewhere?
Like, yeah, he was staying in. Yeah, he was staying up there, and he had a picture of him with a Padres hat on, and then today he has a picture of him in a Dodgers hat on, and it's just like, I get it. Like, he's trying to have fun and be silly and stuff like that.
Like the road show.
But to me, it's just like, there's just something about, oh, well, I'll come play for you. I'll come play for you. What do you got? Who wants it more? It's like, we all know at the end of the day, it's just going to be who pays you the most, so get over it.
That's true.
He's definitely, like, commenting on free agency instead of just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder, I'd actually be very curious. I think we've talked about it, but like, I'd be curious to see how his personality and his online presence played in San Diego. Would it rub the ownership the wrong way? What would local media be able to do with it? How would they process it? That'd be kind of fascinating. But I think it would probably wear on us for a while.
Yeah, and I think, like, I mean, and also, and we can stop talking about him, you know, very quickly, because obviously he's not the reason we've decided to come together, but he is, you know, I think, like, just imagine if Manny Machado would have pulled this, like, going from team to team and city to city and wearing different hats. Who yeah. wants it? Like, he would have been a thug and just out for the money and all this other stuff. He would have been looked at, he would have laughed at and made fun of. But since Trevor Bauer is doing it, it's just like, oh, this is so fine and cutesy.
And yeah, when you compare it to Manny, it makes Bauer seem super corny. Like, he has no chill. Like, he has no swag.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Not well, at
you
all.
You look at, like, how NBA players, a lot of NBA superstars, when they go and just other places, you know, especially in the NBA, like, when a guy like LeBron exercises his free agency, he his goes auctions. To like, yeah, he takes meetings in like the Hamptons or something like that. And everybody gets so pissed off about it. Like, he's dragging this out, but he's not really doing it in public like that. Trevor Bauer yeah. is actually turning this into like a reality show.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. it's received completely differently, I think. I don't know. That's yeah. enough about Trevor Bauer. Enough about.
Yep.
that, but you know, let's go through these trades.
Yeah, should we start? I mean, should wait, we do it like by timeline here, like how the day
Trevor
started?
Bauer might Trevor Bauer might be a Padre by the end of this, so
yeah, no, that's things true. Are going.
I mean, we can still totally sign him, that's still totally
yeah,
a possibility.
I mean, yeah, I mean, a number three or four wouldn't be bad, right?
Yeah,
right. He'd be so offended, he'd be so ticked off if he was right. a number three. Oh my god,
hold on.
All right, Nick, so what was the first one that happened? It was around like 11, 10, 9? I don't know. It was sometime this morning.
Well, no, it was last night.
Last night, the Blake Snell trade.
Oh, it was.
We traded Luis Patino, Blake Hunt, Cole Wilcox, and Francisco Mejia. So that whole – let's unpack some of these guys. Obviously, the big piece that everybody's probably worried about is – I don't think anybody really cares that much, but – you know, Luis Patino seemed to be set up to be a potential one or two in the starting rotation that we envisioned for the future. But, you know, it's obviously this is a move to he's a few years away from being that guy. Mm-hmm. And this is a move to just have established starting pitching that has experience in big games. And that's Blake Snell. I mean, he famously had the in the World Series last year where he gets pulled, and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people think that it's really hard for him to even go back to that. So I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, Blake Snell, he's our ace now, I guess. All right, is he the ace?
No, yeah, he's the ace, right? He's definitely the ace. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Clevinger definitely would be pushed to number two in this scenario, and Lamet would be number three. Obviously, we don't have to worry about Clevinger for another year. I think like the Blake Snell deal is out of all of them the roughest deal to kind of swallow, only because Patino. But like at the same time, you know, we saw Patino, like he clearly wasn't ready. You know, in this next year would have been more of the same. I think. I mean, he could have easily pulled together if there's a full season. You know, somewhere in the season, no doubt. I think he could have figured it out. But you know, it's a toss up. It's just a toss up. And the other guys in the trade, you know, Cole Wilcox is good. The Blake Hunt is supposed to be, you know, a nice prospect. A lot of these guys, you know, are good. It's just, you stockpile these prospects for trades like this. I mean, you don't say no to a Blake Snell who pitched in a World Series against a team and silenced the team that you hate the most. I mean, somebody posted like Seager and, Seager and Mookie and somebody else's stats against them, and they're like, they're terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go out and you get a guy who basically made all of your rivals look silly, and he's young, and he's under team control for a few more years. Like, you know, you just do it. You go do it. Like, you don't say no to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this whole cluster of trades is very much the Padres saying that they're going for it, which is really exciting considering how good the Dodgers are. You know, I mean, they are, you know, even though they didn't win a real World Series, they still are a juggernaut of a team. And, you know, yeah, I think you're right. Blake Snell really had something for those guys. It was a great performance in the World Series last year. And, you know, if we're going to face the Dodgers and they're going to be the one team that we have to overcome, I mean, that whole core on their team has this this vast experience now in big games. And, you know, we need to start adding players that have that too, I think, to match it. It's not just, you know, talent for talent. I think there's also experience that, you know, all those Dodgers, they're coming up in that system and they're playing in the World Series or around there every year. And, you know, we've had guys that have, you know, been in like one NLDS. I mean, Manny's been in the World Series, I guess, but you got to start adding people like that, you know, and that's yeah. Blake Snell. You know? So, Blake Hunt, I don't even know what he looks like. Cole Wilcox, whatever. Like he's not like a top, yep. He's not a top rated prospect or anything like that. But, you know, I don't want to move on without, you know, kind of giving an RIP to, Mejia, you know, the Mejia Hedges year and a half of our lives. Like, I'll miss Francisco Mejia. I think he was put into a semi tough situation in the way that they handled him and Hedges during that. But, you know, hopefully he does something in his career. You know, we're rooting for you, Frankie, I guess. Do you have anything else on Mejia saying goodbye to that whole debate?
I just feel like we've matured so much. Like, we have our big boy pants on now. I mean, imagine a year and a half ago, we were honestly, Padres Twitter was like in shambles over picking sides over Hedges or Mejia. Like, you either in one camp or the other. And now that both of them are gone, it just seems like such a silly thing with what they've been replaced with. So I only liked Hedges, Nick, because of you. I loved him because I love you. And
it was just a bit.
Mejia,
a bit.
You know, yeah. And Mejia, I saw potential there, but he never was serious to me. He just never, I don't know, got focused or locked in, or I don't know what you call it. So it's fine. We can put that era behind us and, you know, be big boys now.
I would have liked to have seen Mejia given a shot, but, you know, again, you make this trade, you make it. So
yeah, it seems like Campusano, if he doesn't go to jail or whatever, but he's just a more well-rounded prospect. And, you know, he might not have quite the bat speed, but he seems to, I mean, he knows how to play catcher. And, you know, I'm fine with Nola for a while. Nola's coming back, right? So that's.
Yeah, Nola's coming back. Nola,
that's fine. And then, Whatever,
and,
you know.
And then we got another, you know, we got the backup in Caratini. Right. But yeah, you know, it was fun. The Mejia versus Hedges debate was always a fun one on Twitter. But I'm glad that we don't have to worry about it anymore.
If Blake Hunt becomes like Johnny Bench, we'll isolate this clip and we'll repost it, I guess.
Exactly.
All right. Well, do you want to move on to the one that happened today? The Padres signed an international player from Korea. Yeah.
Yeah.
He his name is Ha-Sung Kim. I hope I'm saying that right. He's a 25-year-old middle infielder who got a lot of attention during when there wasn't really any live sporting events except for KBO baseball. And he caught a lot of attention. He seems to be a pretty high-level defender with some, you know, he can hit too. And it sounds like he's going to be our starting second baseman. Now, how does this sit with you guys as far as like what we're going to do with Cronenworth and the outfield? Or, and this kind of opens up a discussion about, you know, we don't really know if the DH is coming back. What do you think the Padres should do here? Kim is basically a natural shortstop, which obviously that we have that covered, but And Cronenworth has never really played in the outfield. Although I think he could, I don't know why, you know, he seems like he can just play anywhere, but
he can kind of do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My personal feeling is like Hosmer, he can play first. He can, you know, if Hosmer needs days off or whatever, I think he can just throw Cronenworth everywhere. And we also got to see if Cronenworth is for real. He only played for 2 months and he was good for about half of that. What do you think, Dallas? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. You know, I like Cronenworth a lot, but yeah, I mean, his sample size is very small. You know, there is a reason, we can't forget, there's a reason that he was, what, a 27-year-old rookie?
26, yeah.
26-year-old rookie. Like, you know, there's a reason for these things. He was also obviously a very nice surprise. They played him the entire year because he just kept hitting his way into the starting lineup. And, you know, you hate to see somebody who was clearly having obviously his best season and having one of the best seasons for any rookies last year. You hate to see him not be an option anymore, but where do you play him? I mean, you know, that's the biggest thing. And he has some outfield experience, but then what do you do in outfield? You know, you have Myers, Grisham, and Pham. So what do you do with the outfield? And like, there's still a possibility.
I have to pause right now. Do you realize what we're discussing right now as Padre fans?
We have a wealth of talent.
I'm honestly giddy right now. We have more talent than we know what to do with at the moment.
Well, I think
this has never, ever been a case. Even in 98, we've never been in this kind of situation. We're discussing, like, well, we have this really talented player, and there's no place for him on the team.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. It's very exciting. I just think, you know, with this, it's like you're going to be – if the DH doesn't come back, then you're saying goodbye to Cronenworth, Myers, or Hosmer because – unless they just move Cronenworth to the, you know, versatile Ben Zobrist
kind of role. The Gray Garcia replacement. I mean, I don't hate Cronenworth as our first pinch hitter if we need one, and the guy that's filling in when guys need a day off everywhere. Like, he can be that guy. Yeah. If this new Kim guy is what he appears to be from, you know, the few – snippets we get on Twitter of him playing, he looks incredible. I mean, he's got the bat flip down. He's a complete package from what it looks like.
But we also, you know, we have to see him with, you know, against major league pitching, and that's always the thing with these guys. You know, I think I heard that the Korean League is basically about somewhere between like a AA, AAA level. You know, I mean, he's basically the age of Cronenworth coming in last year, and it's. You know, we won't really know until we see him do it at this level. And, you know, I saw something on Twitter that I hope it's the right reporting, but I saw this thing on Twitter that it was like, you know, a reason why he picked San Diego, his family wanted to live on the West Coast, but they also guaranteed that he wouldn't have to play in the minors. And that was a turnoff for some other teams that kind of wanted, you know, I think Toronto was deep into him, but they wanted to put him in the minors at first. They wanted that option to do that. And so, you know, that there's not a consensus around the league about what he's going to be. A lot of people seem to think that he might just be like a, you know, a utility backup guy you plug in, like a Profar or something like that. Or I don't know if that's the right example, but like a Galvis or something. You know, somebody who's like mid-level, just he has a major league career, but it's not special. Padres think he's going to be more than that, and that to the point where he would just take the starting job at second over Cronenworth, which, you know, I think if Cronenworth keeps hitting, he's just going to have a spot somewhere. I think what's really interesting, what you hear from the team, I don't know if it's an actual quote, but you know, you're hearing things from the team that's saying that, like, they don't care that Kim is a natural shortstop. They just want good players, and they're just signing. They just want he's talented, and they just want to have him. So that seems like a philosophy that we should embrace. You know,
yeah, I'm all for it.
Because and I think a lot of the reasoning is that's kind of what the Dodgers have done. I mean, the Dodgers have depth all over the field, and guys sit games, you know, just based on matchups, and they have just a wealth of talent, and they, you know, they're in the mix every year. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're saying we should just be stockpiling talented players, Nick, then there's no reason we don't go out and get Bartolo Colon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's striking out kids in the Dominican right now. Do you see
that? You're dang right. Yes, he is. You're dang right.
He could pitch five innings in Major League Baseball for a month.
Of course he can.
Oh, absolutely.
Just give him $1 million for four starts. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Oh, yeah. You make your money and sell out.
Yeah.
So if you could go.
Well, yeah, let's move on to the Yu Darvish trade. That is, it sounds like it's happening. It is 9:30 right now.
Yeah, I'm constantly refreshing it.
It sounds like it's going. We're going to talk about it as if it is happening. So this this trade and the money that the Cubs are supposedly isn't disclosed. He has 3 years left, $59 million owed to him. But we traded away Zach Davies, shortstop, Reginald Presidio, Owen Cassie, and Ismael Mena, and Yason Santana. So none of our top prospects are going. Zach Davies, who was probably our most reliable pitcher last year, but, you know, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell. Yeah, Yu Darvish is an upgrade from Zach Davies. We know that, so.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Zach Davies is like small Mario, and then Snell is Mario once he eats the mushroom, you know what I mean, and then gets the fireballs. It's kind of, they seem similar. Yeah. And Nick, I think you had a good tweet about this. What was yours?
Which one?
Comparing so many good Zach tweets. Davies. Oh, no. How would that ever even close to describing it?
I replied to HJ.
Something you had one that correlated Snell and Davies, didn't you?
I said that just I replied to HJ's something he said, but it was like Blake Snell is Zach Davies after losing his virginity. They look alike, but like
yes, and
like Snell's more badass looking,
right?
You know,
yeah, they're both seem like computer geeks, but yeah, exactly. That's a perfect. He got laid. Exactly.
Yeah, I think Zach Davies kind of sealed his own fate with his postseason. I mean, he was pretty bad in the postseason.
But we also put a lot on him. I mean, I get what you're saying, but all of a sudden he went from 3-1 quick. Yeah.
Well, that's important to talk about because, like, you know, the postseason last year that Clevinger and Lamet go down, and now we're talking about a Padre team that's just added two pitchers to replace them. You know, I don't know if Lamet's going to, I don't know. We don't really know what Lamet's going to be next year or how cautious they're going to be with him, but it's really, I don't know how to wrap my head around it. Like the Padres just fixing problems with money and not losing prospects.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know really how to process not being mad at them for not, you know, for not spending money.
No, it's true. I mean, it is a weird zone to be in. And I mean, like, I get it. We asked a lot out of Zach Davies and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, the first game of the postseason, I think there's just too much weight on, oh, well, he's got to be the first guy who pitches in this postseason series. I don't think it really matters to a certain level. Right, like you pitch the guy who's your best pitcher in the first game, and he was our best pitcher. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's more on his shoulders. I mean, I guess there is, but I don't know. He was great during the season. Like he had a great season with us last year and we were all, you know, mesmerized by how he pulled it off and did a lot of Greg Maddux type stuff. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, I think his performance in the postseason, you know, was an indicator that this season was probably more of a fluke than anything else. And, you know, he's very expendable.
Yeah. Well, overall, with this trade has these prospects. David Jay, who's a friend of the pod from Mad Friars, had a great tweet about just the Preller's trades. He wrote this evening, I guess, the Padres' creativity in managing draft budgets is an under-discussed part of Preller's trades. They've parlayed underslot Miller, Coleman, Driscoll, Cassie, and overslot Hunt, Edwards, Wilcox, guys alike into impact big league pieces. And I think that's really true. I mean, he's used the draft as a way to just stockpile these pieces that he's getting teams to bite on. It's really incredible. And hopefully it translates to wins, you know?
That's funny. I thought you were going to mention the other David Jay tweet where he said, he's like, if you can tell me the difference between, I forget the shortstop we just traded, one of those prospects and why his chances are blah, blah, blah against any other shortstop. He's like, then you need to shut up about prospects, which is like true. It's like, none of us really know. And I mean, and you know, the people keep saying, well, the Cubs are taking this trade because in this package, you know, there could be the next Tatis. Like, And that's true of any prospect. Any prospect could be the next big thing that you get. But I think that's a funny way to look at it. I think it's just Padres people trying to be nice about the trade. I mean, the Cubs got a little fleeced in this trade. And
I mean, are they fleeced, or I don't know what they're doing? What are the Cubs? What's the Cubs? What are the Cubs?
Yeah, why doing? Do they need to drop money?
They can print money. That stuff. They own the whole region up there. It's like
they're saying that a lot of this is happening because of the last season, because every team, quote unquote, lost, you know, millions and millions of dollars in revenue. And so because they lost all of this money, there's a lot of teams who normally would be biting aren't, because they're scared of what might happen. And they want to have another season with people in the stands. So wow. A lot of teams aren't going in on these deals because they can't handle the salary. It's amazing the Padres can, but at the same time, you know, that's what it seems like is happening here. And that's what I keep reading, is that people keep saying that it's a money issue.
Yeah.
Padres acting like a big market money team. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Some of these deals, like, I mean, yeah, the Padres are adding payroll, but you know, it makes you wonder, like, is the transition between, you know, from Ron Fowler to Peter Seidler being at the forefront of the organization, is Peter just like, screw it, I only live once, I'm going to just have the best baseball team I can have 8 years after buying it. <You know? laughs> I mean, I don't know, this whole thing is great. I mean, I hope that they keep spending money and all that. I just, you know, I do wonder, like, is Peter Seidler going to be only judged on this season? You know?
Yeah.
Is the way this ownership group has evolved, are we going to, as fans, look at like the last, or I guess the first seven seasons, I guess it would call it, it's seven seasons, as like the Ron Fowler era, and this is the Peter Seidler era, even though it's always been Peter Seidler's team, you know? That's something to watch.
I mean, it will be like that. I think there's no doubt. There's no doubt people are going to be like, oh, well, of course things are getting better now. Seidler's in charge, you know? And it's like, well,
he kind of was the whole time, but...
I mean, I think about him a lot. Like, if you had that kind of money, I think he's worth around $300 million, right? And I'm like, okay, I got all this money. What am I going to do with it? I can take $50 million of it and lock it away, so I'm never going to be on the street. I mean, that's absurd to say just that.
Yeah.
And then I can just go blow money on trying to put together a world champion baseball team. I mean, if your mind is there, yeah. Who cares about $250 million? Like, you can't take it with you. I would totally. If I had that kind of money.
Is it blowing money? Is it blowing money though? Because you're going to have this fan base that's going to be so jacked to be in public doing anything, you know, just when the pandemic is.
If I am a business person, I'm way. Seidler, I know he's got it, so he's not like over leveraging, but if you're just looking at it as a business plan, yeah, he's not being smart at all. I don't think. Like, if the Cubs, who can, you know, issue a new t-shirt and they'll sell 10 million of them overnight. Like, you know what I mean? They have that fan base. They have that. The Padres don't have that. We're still like the joke as of like 6 months ago, the joke of baseball. That's still the farm team that Manny Machado decided to go, you know, waste his career hidden in San Diego about, you know. We not too long ago, we were a complete and utter joke. Yeah. So yeah, I would totally, he's ready to be the man of the team, the boss, the front person, the focus of the person making the decisions, in a way. And so, I don't know. I think he's ready to ball.
I mean, it looks like I think it's a smart business. I think they're going to make a lot of money once people are vaccinated. It sounds like they'll have partial attendance pretty early in the season, if it looks like everybody, you know, they're going to have enough vaccinated people. Like, I just think in general, all across baseball, everybody's going to be so excited to go to baseball parks. And here, having had that postseason that we had, even though it was not a legitimate postseason, I mean, it was a joke of a World Series, but like, you know, I just think that like the people are going to be raring to get back into Petco Park and just throwing money at the team. I think I am. I do want to see this live. I want to feel this live. And
yeah,
you know, if he puts $40 million into, you know, or whatever it is, the payroll goes up, you know, I think it's smart. You know, we're going to have months of, this is just going to be what, this is going to add so much excitement over the next few months. And I don't know how they're going to roll out like ticket sales or how that's going to go, but, or how spring training is going to go, you know, but this is just going to
get
people over the edge.
You know? It's going to be interesting.
I'm excited too.
But if people aren't, I mean, not to get too deep in the weeds and we don't need to like really argue it, but if people aren't traveling, I don't know how much San Diego can, I'm going to sound like I'm disparaging San Diego. That's not what I mean to say. Like, we make a lot of money on our team off of people coming into San Diego and being like, you want to catch a baseball game tonight?
Yeah.
This works really well when you're like, oh, do you want to see Yu Darvish pitch against, you know, whoever the Dodgers are sending into town or the day or whatever. But like, if people aren't traveling and stuff, I don't know. It's, I don't think this is a surefire business decision. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you have a point. You definitely have a point there.
But yeah, I'm excited, man. I've never been more excited to watch Padres baseball in my life.
I'm excited. I'm excited just because, you know, you look at like the Dodgers and they were just this massive juggernaut of a team. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, in the NBA where the Warriors were so dominant and the Rockets like decided to really compete against them with like James Harden and all that. It feels like we're at least doing that. I remember when that was happening, that the Warriors were just so far ahead of everybody that when the Rockets were actually trying to beat them and going for it, like that front office got so much credit for that because it was like, you know, they're not backing down from this seemingly unbeatable team. They're actually trying. Mm-hmm. And it feels just fun that they're not going to back down and wait this one out when this Dodger team, it should be around for a while, just killing teams. I mean, they're really trying to go to war with them, and we are, and it feels like
we
do feel connected to it. And it's just really exciting. I don't know what other take you're supposed to have about it, but.
Well, no, and Dodgers Twitter was definitely very more respectful than I think we've ever seen them in the past than today. They're like, yeah, but they're looking better than, yeah, we won, but yeah. It's a much more level playing field now for sure.
Yeah. So before we get going, like, what do you think the Padres should do? I mean, if Preller's not done, what would you like to see him do?
Well, I think we are going to see, you know, if they can move Hosmer or Myers, I think they're going to move Hosmer or Myers or Cronenworth. I still think there's some moves. I just do. I think there's some moves out there to be made still. And, but I don't know, people keep saying Yadier Molina, I like Yadier Molina. I think he's a good catcher. He's been on my fantasy team for years and he's way more reliable than everybody seems to think he is.
No,
but like, what do you do with Nola then? You know, like, then you're splitting Nola and Molina, and I don't think Molina's going to go for that. Then you have another whole catcher debate. Like, you know, so I just don't know if getting into another split time catching decision is going to be the best thing moving forward. But other than that, I just don't know who you go out and get.
I mean, as a baseball fan, I've hated Yadier Molina, you know, as a friendly, you know, just he's against our team and I hate him, but
yeah,
shouldn't he retire as a Cardinal? Like why is he going to go somewhere else? It seems like he's a guy that should just stay with that team. And
yeah, he should definitely retire as a Cardinal. I mean, for sure. But I feel like he's that guy who feels undervalued and he's going to go try to get, you know, a payday before he retires for good. I mean, he's way better than people want to believe he is. And I don't know why people are so down on him all the time, but he's obviously, you know, been one of the best catchers in baseball for quite some time and won several World Series on a team, you know, over the past decade. So there's a lot to him. But again, I just don't see the need to go out and get him when you have somebody like Nola and you just got Caratini in the Darvish trade. You know, Caratini is like great, but he's going to be your backup. So, you know, that's kind of where I sit. But other than that, I don't know what other move needs to be addressed, you know?
Well, they could, we don't know what, if Lamet's their number three starter, is he going to be healthy for entire season? Then what, you have Paddock for, what the hell is that going to be next year? I don't know. And then you have Gore, Marahone, and whoever, for the fifth spot. So maybe they could add another veteran arm, somebody of a Zach Davies level, something like that.
Yeah, possibly.
You can always use more arms, right?
Always.
So
it'll be, you know, 10 more days until we have to sign Clayton Richard again. It'll be exciting.
He deserves to be, you know what? I need my Clayton Richard in the blue. He needs to be in the white and blue. Just, I don't need it. He can't wear the brown, actually.
No, it wouldn't work.
Oh, God.
Well, all right, guys. I don't know. Anything else you want to add about these deals? It's a bizarre time. You know, it's Preller's having a moment, you know,
and it's Preller's second December.
Second December.
Yeah. It's remarkable. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to get, maybe he'll do something else. Maybe we'll be back here just going, what? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. When Mike Trout moves to first base, that's what.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast, emergency pod edition, Preller's December 2. I guess the trade is done.
Oh, did it happen? We're assuming it. We haven't had an official yet.
It's been reported on MLB.com, so it feels done.
Yeah. Pending medicals, you know, with Preller.
You never know.
You never know. Zach Davies might have taken a Flintstone vitamin like in August and we didn't report it right or something.
But yeah, exactly. You never know.
All right, guys. Follow us on the Kept Faith and check out keptfaith.com for all of our stuff. And we'll be back if something else happens.
Go Padres.
Go Pods. See ya.